Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome to the conclusion of the debate right here on Bob Enyart Live over the Fetal Pain Act introduced in Washington, D.C. by National Right to Life and Concerned Women for America. On our website at kgov.com, you could hear the three segments that make up the entire debate. Before we join the conclusion, I'd like to read to you the summary of yesterday's program from our website, kgov.com. Every program we do, we have an archive that goes back years. Every program gets a show title, and then there is a summary, and I'm going to read to you the summary that is on our website. This will give you an idea of the resource that is available online at kgov.com. So here goes. Let me read this to you. Part two of the debate between Colorado Right to Life and Wyoming Right to Life exposes the terrible unintended consequences of House Bill 6099, which would offer fetal painkiller for late-term abortions. The president of Wyoming Right to Life, Stephen Ertelt, was repeatedly asked this question. Is it possible that offering pain medication for unborn children might encourage some women to go ahead and abort their baby? Stephen Ertelt repeatedly replied, I don't think it's possible at all. This bill will not convince any woman to have an abortion. Ertelt, also the publisher of LifeNews.com, was asked this question. When millions of Americans hear that fetuses are given pain medication, is it possible that might lower their opposition to even late-term abortion? Ertelt answered, no, not at all. This we find typical of pro-life leaders. Four times Ertelt was asked, does H.R. 6099 offer a solution to the mom on how to kill her baby without the baby feeling pain? Ertelt refused to answer the question. Rather than talking about the bills solving the problem of pain with anesthesia, he only responded about the information the bill provides. On the other hand, Brian Rohrbaugh, president of Colorado Right to Life, furthered his argument that the ends do not justify the means. And laws that include the meaning, and then you could kill the baby, are bad law and will have unintended consequences that their promoters cannot foresee because they refuse to even consider how these laws may backfire. Again, I'm reading the summary of yesterday's show that's available at KGov, our website, kgov.com. And here's the last section of that summary. Analyzing pro-life leaders. This debate illustrates, perhaps it even psychoanalyzes, a group of pro-life leaders who adamantly refuse to even consider whether their compromised legislation might backfire with possible unintended consequences. Judging from 15 years worth of on-air experience, Stephen Ertelt, who defends H.R. 6099, typifies today's pro-life leaders. He's a typical example in his thinking of our pro-life leaders. People who deny any possible risks or unintended consequences from such a complex endeavor as lawmaking are demonstrably not objective. Conversely, those who advocate wrongdoing typically will deny any possible negative consequences of their claim. Why? Because they intuitively realize that if they acknowledge even a possible downside, their entire facade may collapse. Compromising on God's enduring command, do not murder, pro-life leaders argue that the end justifies their means. And psychologically, that moral compromise itself prevents them from objectively assessing the likely ends, that is, the outcome of their legislation. Just getting a bill introduced makes pro-life ministries look effective, and the campaign to pass a law brings in financial support. But if Stephen Ertelt is typical of those who claim that such laws will save lives, then this debate shows that this group of leaders is especially unqualified to make that judgment. Not only do today's pro-life leaders not weigh the possible lives saved against the possible lives lost, but, and this is very typical, they do not even acknowledge any possible downside, direct or long-term, to their compromise legislation. That is an example of the summaries that appear with our programs online at KGOV, that's KGOV.com, and that comes in handy because you could even use Google to search the web to find information. You could put in my name, Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, or KGOV, KGOV.com, and another topic like soft tissue T-Rex, for example, and our website will pop right up, and you could get a lot of information with links to resources around the world on the web. So now let's listen to the conclusion of the debate.
You know the consequences of opposing this bill.
This is Stephen.
You allow murder to continue in every circumstance.
Stephen, this is the very last time.
Stephen, why are you resolute in stopping some abortions?
Stephen,
why is that a problem?
This is the very last time.
Why do you not support saving some babies' lives?
All right, Stephen, this is the very last time I'm going to ask you this question. Does H.R. 6099 offer to a mother a solution to the problem of her fear of inflicting pain on her aborted baby?
The answer is going to be the same answer that I've given you
before.
That's
a yes or no question.
This bill will reduce abortions.
All right, that's not the question I asked, Steve.
Why you don't support reducing as many abortions as we can does not make sense.
Okay, let's change the topic. We don't have much time left. Stephen, I want to do this. Let's say it's the day after Roe v. Wade is passed, and the only law in the land allowing abortion is Roe v. Wade. Let's just say that was it. And pro-lifers passed the law nationwide that said you can't have an abortion unless you have a 24-hour waiting period. You have to wait 24 hours before you could kill the baby. And then the next week, Roe v. Wade is overturned. Now, what is the law of the land regarding killing babies?
It depends on the state legislature.
No, what I just
this.
No. What,
if Roe versus Wade is overturned, state legislatures in all 50 states will decide for their own state what are we going to do about the status of abortion.
Stephen,
will we keep it legal? Will we make it illegal? And if we make it illegal, in what circumstances are we going to make it illegal?
All right, Stephen. In order to be able to analyze all that you just described, that's all wildly complicated. So I want to help the audience.
Well, that's the state of abortion law.
I know.
I'm sorry if that's too complicated.
No.
For you.
It's all wildly complicated. So first,
it's incredibly complicated.
Of course it is. So first, could you answer this simple question? Then we could talk about the more complex scenario we're in. The simple question is: Roe v. Wade legalized abortion nationwide. Pro-lifers enacted a nationwide 24-hour waiting period. You cannot have an abortion unless you wait 24 hours. Then Roe v. Wade is overturned. Now, what is the state of abortion in America?
I answered that question.
No, you did not, Stephen.
Some states it will be legal, and some states it will not be legal.
No, I'm saying,
but at least in the states where it's legal, there's a 24-hour waiting period.
All right, Stephen, once
some
again,
women in those states not to have an abortion.
Once again, you will not answer a simple, direct
question. I've
answered
the question for
you. I'm going to answer the question.
That's the same answer you're going to get from any legal scholar, attorney who knows anything about abortion law.
Really?
If Roe versus Wade
is overturned,
about pro-lifers. 50 state legislatures are going to decide. decide what their abortion law is.
All right.
That's just how it is.
Stephen, I'm going to answer the question for the audience since you would not. If Roe v. Wade is the only law, it's legalizing abortion, and pro-lifers pass a nationwide 24-hour waiting period, and Roe v. Wade is overturned, then the standing law nationwide is a 24-hour waiting period, and then you could have the abortion. Now, in all 50 states...
For those states where abortion is legal,
No. That's not in my scenario. I'm trying to test...
Well, I know it's not your scenario, but that's reality. Stephen, I'm sorry you don't like that,
Stephen,
but
Stephen, you can't assess complex reality unless you could think clearly. First, you have to think clearly. Then you could assess complex issues. So in this...
Don't treat me like I'm a five-year-old, Bob. I can understand
Stephen,
that.
Okay, answer this question, okay? If Roe v. Wade is the only law in the land, now imagine that. You have to go back many years and get rid of Colorado and New York's laws just to test legal theory. Think that Roe v. Wade is the only law in the land. And then pro-lifers pass a nationwide 24-hour waiting period, so there are no other laws in the whole land. Now, Stephen, we're trying to see. I'm asking you to honestly answer this simple question. If Roe v. Wade is overturned the next week, then what
Praise
is
God.
The state? What is the state of abortion in America then?
If Roe versus Wade is overturned next week, that would be
no.
Just a,
that's not
a
what I asked, Stephen. It's not what I asked. Do you want me to ask it again, or
well,
do you want
you know,
to just
I'm
answer?
I'm sorry, you're not going to let me answer the question.
I'm not talking about next week, Stephen. I'm giving you a hypothetical question to evaluate your ability to honestly analyze the legal consequences of our laws, and you. I wish you would answer the question.
I've answered the question for you. I'm sorry you don't like my answer.
No, no, you're talking about today. You're
in the same way that any legal scholar, anyone familiar with the state of abortion law in our nation would answer it.
Well, Bob,
if Roe versus Wade is overturned, that throws to the states the decision-making capability for the status of legal abortion in all of the 50 states. Now, hopefully most all of them, if not all of them, will make abortion legal. Praise God. That would be a wonderful blessing. We'd all rejoice in the streets if abortion was illegal in almost every state or all states.
Okay.
That would be great.
Well, let me answer Bob's question because you didn't want to. The question... No, you didn't want to.
You're funny.
If,
I mean, you're not even in touch with the reality here.
Yeah, actually I am. It's you that's having a hard time admitting that it's more important
okay.
to you
well,
to put
you
legislation
know,
through
to the point in the
than it is to
where
be honest.
You refuse to, okay. to acknowledge the
Stephen
point
wants
made.
To hang up.
You've
right.
sunk to the low level of ad hominem attacks, and that's unfortunate.
Okay.
And that's not becoming...
Brian, would you, would you answer the question I asked
I will answer the question that you asked Stephen that he refuses to answer.
I'm not refusing to answer. Please don't lie about me and bear false witness.
Well, Stephen, why don't you just listen to me and see if I answer the question correctly. Bob, you said if there's only two laws and one of them, Roe versus Wade, were overturned, what would be the law of the land? The law of the land that we would be fighting would be the 24-hour waiting period that pro-lifers passed.
It would be the other law.
Right.
If there's only two laws in force and one is overturned, then the presiding legal authority would be the other law so that Roe v. Wade is gone from America, and then we would have 50 states – under some federal law that was you could have an abortion if you wait 24 hours. So then we would be forced as pro-lifers to start to fight against our own law to try to repeal our own law. And that might be really difficult because we're working against the majority that doesn't care much about God's law. And we're working against politicians who don't care and judges who don't care. And we're going to go to the media and try to convince the masses that our own law was unjust and it needs to be repealed. That'll be difficult. But now Stephen wants to fast forward to today's complexity. Let's go to today. We have hundreds of pro-life laws enacted all over this country, hundreds. And these laws end, almost all of them, they end with, and then you could kill the baby, just like H.R. 6099 does. So if Roe v. Wade was overturned tomorrow, we would have to overturn hundreds of pro-life laws that say if you wait 24 hours, you could have an abortion. If you get permission from your parents, you could have an abortion. If you have informed consent, you could have an abortion. You could have a late-term abortion if you're offered painkiller for the baby. We have to then overturn our own laws, which
you don't have to overturn any laws. There are a number of states that have those types of laws on the books. You pass a bill that prohibits abortions, you can easily include a repealer. This is done all the time, every day in state legislatures. In fact, I testified this morning in front of Wyoming State Legislature where a repealer was added to a bill. This is a common process.
That's a new trend. That's a new trend which is being explored, and that is designed to address this very issue. After 20 years of pro-lifers writing legislation, we have put on the books hundreds of laws that will keep abortion legal if Roe v. Wade is overturned.
Legal.
What?
In many states, there are laws on the books right now where abortion is illegal.
Right,
they're
right.
simply not enforced.
I'm not talking about
Wade.
Those, Stephen.
So,
I'm
so
not
whether
talking.
Those laws are on the books in states
Stephen,
or not is irrelevant.
We're not
the
talking.
The legislature simply has to pass a bill that prohibits abortion,
Stephen,
and that trumps those
Stephen,
laws.
Stephen, we're not talking about those laws or those states.
You were just talking about those laws.
We are talking about pro-life legislation. Let me ask you this question.
You're talking about
right.
a false setup.
Let me ask
to
you this question.
The rest of the pro-life community look bad because
Stephen,
we support reducing abortions
this.
And you
do
don't.
You know? Do you have an idea about how many pro-life laws in force today, including all kinds of repeal and trigger laws all around the country? How many pro-life laws in force today would keep abortion legal if Roe v. Wade was overturned?
Keep abortion legal because the states would be free to pass measures
No, that's
prohibiting
not my
abortion.
Question. I'm not asking what
I know that's not your question.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to deal with
no,
that,
no,
but that's
Stephen,
what would happen,
I'm all
Bob.
For dealing with what we got to do to get out of the mess. I'm all
but
for
it's
that.
Not a mess.
Here's the question I you could answer. You could say, no, I don't know. The question is...
Well, the answer is I do know, and the answer is the state legislatures. We're going to fight in all 50 states to make abortion
that's
legal
not my question,
everyone that we can.
Stephen, my question is, how many of our own laws will we have to fight to repeal...
Zero.
...in order... Zero.
None.
Okay, that's another... That's a complete misrepresentation. Okay, we are going to take a break, and we will be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Stephen, my question is, how many of our own laws will we have to fight to repeal?
Zero.
In order? Zero.
None.
Okay, that's another, that's a complete misrepresentation. That's
okay,
about the
no,
fifth
that,
time, Stephen, on this show.
Opinion. You may disagree with that, right. But, you know, folks who have a whole lot more knowledge about the law than I do are, would concur with me. So
okay.
I
don't think you could get one lawyer in the country, Stephen, to concur with you.
Okay, I could get you at least 30 in the next hour.
Okay, let's
so.
Get one. Let's get
I don't
one.
Know what lawyer you
Stephen,
know, but
Stephen
you know,
Ertel,
folks who represent the major
okay,
pro-life groups
Stephen
who have litigated
Ertel,
in front of the
let's
Supreme
get one.
Court.
Let's get one. Let's get one lawyer on this show next week. You have the invitation. Okay, and if you don't, I'd like you to call in and apologize.
Okay, well, you can contact any group. You can contact
no,
National
no, no,
Life,
no, no, no,
Americans
no,
United for Life,
Stephen,
Family
I'm giving,
Research Council, Concerned
Stephen,
Women for America.
No, you're
National
making the claim, Stephen.
Bishop
you get the lawyer.
The Lutherans for Life group, right. the Baptist pro-life group, the Presbyterian pro-life group.
Stephen, I can name a lot of pro-life groups. All right, Stephen, you have the challenge. You said you could get 30. I've offered you to get one. Get one.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Bob, after the way that you did me on this program, I doubt anybody would want to come on this show.
All right. All right. Stephen, anything else you'd like to end with?
I'd like to end with this. It's very disappointing to hear people who have a disagreement about strategy to end abortion accuse other people of being pro-abortion, of wanting murder to continue.
I haven't heard that once.
You've said it and applied it numerous times.
Stephen, you have said, now you've said three times during these two shows that we've done that I don't want to stop abortion. Now, I have spoken to millions of people.
I don't want to stop abortion.
No, you said it about me that I don't want to do it. Now just listen to me. I've spoken to the President of the United States about abortion. I've spoken to millions of people many, many times about the evils of abortion on national television and national radio. I've adopted two children who were spared from abortion. I serve as a volunteer in a state agency where abortion started, and I've dedicated my life to the unborn child and to not compromising on God's law. And I see the results of these compromises. And I'm sorry that the bill's more important to you than looking at the downfall of the bill. You wouldn't even admit that some women will see having an anesthetic for their baby as a legitimate reason why they would go and have an abortion. You should have been honest enough to admit that. Maybe you don't believe it. The reality is, I live in this world. I've seen the worst it has to offer. My son was murdered on the sidewalk of Columbine High School because of the thought process taught in our schools, in our government, the lack of God, the promotion of there is no right or wrong. I've held my son at 265 grams while he died. Do not ever tell me I don't care about the life of the unborn. I have dedicated my life to it. I'm sorry that you're not honest enough.
And I praise God for your involvement in the pro-life movement and your dedication and your desire to protect life. And I feel so strongly about the things that you've gone through, that you've endured, and that you've seen.
Well, Stephen,
and I support you, and I wish God's blessings on you for it.
Stephen,
but don't for a minute. Please let me finish. Yeah. I let you speak. Don't for a minute assume that it doesn't go both ways. Don't for a minute assume that I haven't held in my arms women who have had abortions, who have killed their child, who regret that decision till the day is long, and who understand how their relationship with God was shattered and destroyed by that decision. Don't think for a minute that I and those of us who support this bill don't want to see every single unborn baby protected by law in this country, and every single woman and husband and family member and other people who are impacted by abortion, whose lives are altered terribly because of abortion.
Stephen,
relationships with God have been destroyed by abortion. Don't think for a minute that we don't feel the same kinds of convictions that you feel.
Stephen,
a disagreement on strategy doesn't mean a disagreement on the issue itself.
Stephen, we've just had two heartfelt explanations of our motives to be in this fight. Brian has not said during these shows that you want to see more abortions. You have said that he and Colorado Right to Life are willing to do nothing. Those were your words. So you made that accusation. Brian made no such accusation against you. Just so you know that. So that's clear.
Well, that's the effect of opposing bills to reduce abortion.
All right. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, Brian, if you could hang in a bit longer, I'd like to go to New York and to Joe. Welcome to Bob and You're Live. You're on with Brian Rohrbaugh.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much, Bob. And I just want to say, Brian, that I really commend you and your organization. Steve's group is proposing here, and what's been doing, I think, is just shameful.
First of all, thank you for that support. Let me clarify something. In the pro-life world, what often happens is people who work so hard on these bills, they have the best of intentions. So when someone like me comes along and says this is a bad bill, they react badly and they attack us because they think their bill that they have so much work into, you know, they think that it's going to do some good, and then they feel like the attack is on their intention And our attack isn't that they had good intentions or they had bad intentions. We believe they were trying to do the right thing. Our attack is that this bill will cause more harm than good.
Right.
I absolutely agree with you. I just think it's just an example of how far the carnal mind will go to avoid obeying the commandments of God.
Wow.
It's one of the best illustrations of how distorted reality can become when men separate themselves from a biblical worldview.
What a great point. And we've been calling for people to support Colorado Right to Life with the hopes. They were the first Right to Life group in the nation. And our hope is that Colorado Right to Life can take up the mantle and provide the moral leadership that the pro-life movement so desperately needs today. Their phone number, if anybody wants to support them, 303-753-9394, 753-9394. And you could donate online at coloradorighttolife.org. Joe, thank you so much for calling in from New York.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Appreciate that. That was a really neat call. Brian, we just have another minute or two. I like to try to clarify it for people, saying a law has two components, a moral component and a strategic component. The strategic part is what people hope to achieve by the law.
That's right.
Right? The moral component is it right or wrong?
Right.
Like, you could steal money from people to try to find a cure for some disease. Okay, so, well, strategically, maybe that would work, but it would be wrong because you don't have the right to rob people. So you look at the moral component first to see, is this a viable law? Then you look at how it might affect our nation. So the moral component, does this law violate do not murder? Does it end with, and then you could kill the baby? The answer to that is yes.
Yes, this law ends that way.
Right.
And, you know, it hasn't been fixed. There would have been a point in time where it could have been. But the idea of pointing out the problem to women that their babies will suffer and then providing the solution,
right,
that you can be more humane and give them painkillers, right, and have no guilt will lead to more abortions. It will not lead to less.
Yes, Stephen Ertel, president of Wyoming Right to Life, could not admit that it was a possibility that some women would see the painkiller for their baby as an answer to go ahead and have the abortion. He couldn't even admit that.
Right, or he wouldn't admit it.
And of course, he would not. And of course, we admit that, yeah, it is possible that some woman would say, oh, my baby could feel pain, I'm not going to have the abortion.
Absolutely.
But when you refuse to look at the potential downside, that's an indication that something is wrong inside. Something is wrong inside.
Right.
And what's wrong inside is when you compromise on God's law, do not murder, and you're willing to do evil that good might come of it, you don't want anything to now challenge your determination that this is a good thing. You will not look at the possible unintended consequences. You will not look at how it will affect the moral fiber of the nation. You won't look at how it will dehumanize the personhood of the unborn baby. You'll block out all those possibilities and only defend your choice. So it's strategically broken because it's morally broke. Brian, it's an honor to have you in studio on occasion, and these have been some shows. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bob, for having me and for putting on the air a debate like this that I asked for in our original press release. And the public has a right to hear it.
All right. Thank you, Brian Rohrbaugh. Boy, do I appreciate that. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen. And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, I've seen quite a few around the country. And in Arvada, Christian Bookstore at 64th and Ward Road, the Olive Branch Bookstore. Check them out. They carry Bob and Your Live materials. And our website is KGOV.com.